Okay, today's daf is Pesachim daf Pei Dalid. We left off on the top of Pei Dalid Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Oh, today we have a sponsorship. Today's shiur. I don't have it ready. Today's shiur is sponsored by Miriam and Charles Gershbaum in memory of Moshe Shraga ben Rav Nassen Morris Weiss. We thank the Gershbaums very much for the sponsorship and the Neshama Shtevan Aliyah. So today we're going to first see the Mishnah on the top of Daf Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah discusses which parts of the Korban are considered meat, which you can eat to fulfill the mitzvah of eating the Korban Pesach, and which parts are not considered meat, and you cannot fulfill the mitzvah by eating those parts. And then the next Mishnah is going to discuss the scope of the Isser to break bones of a Korban Pesach, and there's going to be a Braisa that has two opinions, why the Isser doesn't apply to a Pasul of Korban Pesach. Why it is that you're allowed to break bones on a Pasul of Korban Pesach, and the majority of the daf, the entire Rambam Beis, is going to be dedicated to giving 8 different interpretations of what exactly that machlokas is about, and what the nafkamina would be in that machlokas, and there's going to be a brisa that supports 4 out of the 8 different interpretations that we're going to have. So let's see the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, Kol Anechel, the top Mishnah Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, Kol Anechel B'Shar HaGadol Yochel B'Gedi HaRach. Any part of a large ox that gets eaten can be eaten on a soft goat in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Achilas Korban Pesach. You have to remember the Korban Pesach is a very young animal, so it's very soft, but it's roasted. Roasting normally hardens the bones. So anything that's that could be eaten on a large ox, which has harder bones, but you can cook it, can also be eaten when you roast a soft goat for Korban Pesach. And the shoulder blade endings and the cartilage can be eaten on the Korban Pesach. So says Gemara, Rabba Rami. Rabba asked the following stira. We're going to see what that last line in the Mishnah means in the first few lines of Gemara here. Rabba Rami. Rabba asked the following stira. Tanan, Kol Anechel B'Shar HaGadol Yochel B'Gedi HaRach. It says in the Mishnah that anything that could be eaten in the Reisha, the Mishnah says anything that could be eaten in a large ox can be eaten on a small goat. V'Sheino Nechel Lo. And the implication obviously is whatever part of a large ox you can't eat is not part of the Korban Pesach that's subject to Achila, to the mitzvah of Achila. Ema Seifa, but then the very next line of the Mishnah says, Rashi Knafayim Vasachusim Vahani Lomasachli B'Shar HaGadol. It identifies the shoulder blade endings and the cartilage, but those parts of a large ox cannot be eaten. So how can it identify those parts as things that you can eat in a Korban Pesach? It breaks the rule that we just said. So says the Gemara, Ella says, Rabba, Ella Tanoihi. It must be that our Mishnah is actually teaching us 2 different opinions. It's a machlokas tanaim. V'hachi ketani, this is how to read the Mishnah. Kol anechel b'shar gadol yochel b'gdi arach v'sheinu nechel lo. Tanakama holds which parts of a Korban Pesach can be eaten in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Achilas Korban Pesach. Only the parts that would be eaten on a large ox. V'yeshomrim afra sheknafayim v'sachusim. And then the second line of the Mishnah is v'yeshomrim. A second opinion holds that on a Korban Pesach you're even allowed to eat the shoulder blade endings and the cartilage. Rava Amar, Rava says, no, a different pshat in the Mishnah. It's not 2 opinions in the Mishnah. Mahein katani, the Mishnah is giving examples. Vahachi katani, this is how to read the Mishnah. Kol anechel b'shar gadol b'shalka, yochel b'gdi arach b'tzli. Any part of a large ox that you could eat, if you slow cook it, which softens it up really well, so you could eat on a Korban Pesach, even though you're roasting it. Umahein, Rashi Knafayim Vesachusim. What parts of a large ox are not normally eaten, but if you slow cook them, could become soft enough to eat? That is the shoulder blade endings and the cartilage. And those parts can be eaten on a Korban Pesach as well. Tanya Kavase Derava, we have a brisa just like Rava. Kol Anechel B'Shar HaGadol B'Shalka, Yochel B'Gdi Arach B'Tzli. Umahein, Rashi Knafayim Vesachusim, V'Gidin Marachim Nidon Kibasar. The soft sinews are considered like basar as well. So the Braisa says explicitly like Rava that the geder is not what's normally eaten in a large ox, but what could be eaten on a large ox if you were to take those parts of the large ox and slowly cook them to really soften them up, and the examples of such parts are the shoulder blade endings and the cartilage. Now, itmar, gidin shesof on the hakshos. What if you have sinews of an animal that right now, remember, the Korban Pesach is a very young animal, so right now they're very soft, the animal's not fully developed yet, but these are sinews that will become harder. So right now they're edible, but they would not be edible if the animal grows up a little bit. So would you consider those parts to be meat, or would you consider them not to be meat? So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Nimnin Aleihem BePesach. You're allowed to register on those parts for a Korban Pesach. They are considered to be meat. Reish Lakish Amar, Ein Nimnin Aleihem BePesach. You cannot register to eat those parts of the animal that's not considered to be meat. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Nimnin Aleihem Basar Hashazin. Rabbi Yochanan says, you can register for those parts because we look at what it is right now. Right now it's edible. Reish Lakish Amar, Ein Nimnin Aleihem Basar Basof Azlinan. He says, no, you cannot register because we don't look at what it is right now. We look at what it's going to be. If we want to define its fundamental identity, is it meat or not? We look at what it eventually will be, and eventually it will not be edible. Says Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish asks on Rabbi Yochanan, how can you say we look at what it is now? Kol anechel b'shar gadol yochel b'gedi arach u'mahein roshei knafayim v'asachusim hani in aval gidin shtofen lahakshul slow. The Mishnah only identifies the shoulder blade endings and the cartilage is things that you're allowed to eat, but the implication is that the gidin that will one day become hard, you're not allowed to eat. So don't you see that I'm right that we have to look at what it one day will be and not what it is right now? He says, no, the Mishnah was giving examples, but there are many more examples of parts of the animal that you're allowed to eat. Hani my taima tamisachli b'shar gadol b'shalka. Why is it that in the examples the Mishnah gives, you're allowed to eat those parts of the Korban Pesach, because if they existed in a large ox, you would be able to slow cook them and then eat them. Hanachnami misachli b'shar gadol b'shalka. All of the things that are sof on the hakshos would also, all the sinews that would ultimately become hard, if you slow cook them, they would also be edible again. So Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbavin, ki azalta l'kamed Rabbi Avohu, Ramile. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says to Rabbi Avin, when you go to Rabbi Avohu, I want you to ask the following stira. Mi amar Rabbi Yochanan gidin shesof on the hakshos nimna leim. Does Rabbi Yochanan really say that it's considered meat, that we look at what it is right now, it's considered meat, the gidin that will one day become hard, alma basar hashtaz linan, that we look at what it is right now, v'abaymine reish lakish Rabbi Yochanan, or harosh al egel harach, ma'u sheyitma. After all, didn't Reish Lakish ask Rabbi Yochanan a shayla, what about the skin of the hide and the animal's head of a soft calf? So what's the halacha in terms of tumas ochlim? Does it become tameh? Varmalo ein mitameh. And he says, no, it's not mitameh, even though right now it's soft and it's edible. He said, ein mitameh. Why? Alma basar b'sof azlinan. Apparently, because Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't look at what it is right now, I look at what it will be, and one day it's going to harden to the point where it's not going to be edible. So how come Rabbi Yochanan says, when it comes to Korban Pesach, the gidin shesof on the hakshos are considered meat, we look at what they are right now, yet when it comes to the tumas ochlin, he views the soft hide on the top of the head of the animal by what it's going to be, that it's going to be hard, and therefore it does not have a status of tumas ochlin. Amarlei, so when Rabbi Yirmiyah was when Rabbi Avo was asked this question, he said, "The Ramalacha lo chash lekimchei." Whoever asked you this question wasn't paying careful attention. He wasn't so careful to grind up his flour properly. He's got a lot of bran in that flour. It's an expression, obviously. Hadbe Rabbi Yochanan legabe Reish Lakish, because if he would pay attention to the details, he would realize that Rabbi Yochanan changed his mind and ultimately was molded to Reish Lakish, meaning that it's clear from the sugi in Chulin that Rabbi Yochanan originally held that we would look at the current state of the item, but eventually he changed his mind and decided that we look at the future state of the item, and therefore our sugya reflects Rabbi Yochanan's opinion before he changed his mind. Say Nachinami, in our sugya we have Rabbi Yochanan at an early stage, but Rabbi Yochanan later on changed his mind and agrees to Reish Lakish that we take future into account, that we look at what it ultimately will be. And he said, well, don't Rabbi Yochanan said to, meaning at the end of that sugya, Rabbi Yochanan said, don't don't bother me with that Mishnah, because the Mishnah is B'lashon Yachid. So apparently Rabbi Yochanan originally was relying on a Mishnah when he thought that we look at what it is right now, but ultimately realized that that Mishnah was only a Das Yachid, and ultimately agreed to Reish Lakish that we look at what things will be in the future, not at what things are right now. So this may not seem like a sugya that's so in Yonah Diyoma. There's a remarkable Dafyomi coincidence in Yonah Diyoma for today. We are one day before the Yom Tov of Sukkos, when we'll be taking a Lulav Nesu. We'll be one week before Sukkos, we'll be taking a Lulav Nesu. We'll be taking Dalet Minim. All of the posts can discuss what happens if you have a situation. There is a minimum shear for how big an Esrog can be. An Esrog has to be at least a kibetza. So what happens if you have a situation where you have an Esrog that's the size of a kibetza, but as you know, over time, Esrogim get smaller. My children were right now just emptying out their Esrog boxes from last year, and they found their last year's Esrogim, and they're very, very tiny. They get much smaller over time. They dry out. What if you have an Esrog that as Yontif starts is just a kibetza, but you know that by the time you get to the third, fourth, fifth, sixth day of Yontif, it's already not going to be a kibetza. It's already going to be Pachus Mikashir. Is such an Esrog kasher to use on Yontif? Birka Yosef raises this suffix. He says, Mixas Chachme Doro, a few of the Chacham in his generation weren't sure how to treat it. So generally speaking, when you think of such a Shaila, you're always thinking within Hilchos Sukkah, right? So some of the Chachme Doro said, well, what's the halach about Schach in such a situation? If you have Schach, that's going to be Nifchas, that right now is good, but ultimately is going to dry up during the Chag, and is going to be nechser mishiro, is going to have less than the proper shear. So the Rama writes in Siman Tafresh Chav Tesif Yud Beis that if it's ultimately going to dry up during the Chag, you view it as if right now it's already dried up, and the schach is pasul. That's how the Rama says. So some of the poskim said, so it must be the same by an esrog that it's pasul also. But the Birka Yosef says, no, just because schach and esrog both are mitzvos that are done on the same yom, it doesn't mean that you should compare those two mitzvahs. Schach, sukkah, is a mitzvah that applies for 7 days straight, day and night, and it's one long mitzvah. So it could be if you have a sukkah that's not roi for all shivas yamim, that it's not going to be a kosher sukkah. But esrog doesn't apply, and it only applies by the day. Each day is its own mitzvah. So why do I care that this esrog won't be able to be used in 2 days from now? Right now, for today's mitzvah, it should be just fine. Is there maybe a better dimyon? Sometimes the better comparison comes from an entirely different area of halacha. So in the Tshuvas Torah Lashma, he says you cannot be yotze with an esrog that's going to be miskatin mishiro, but the dimyon is not from schach. The better dimyon, he says, is from the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Naru Sugya about gidin shesofim lahakshos. The Reish Lakish holds that already right now it's not considered to be basar, even though right now it's edible. And even Rabbi Yochanan Uscholek, we just learned that in the maskana of the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan ultimately was moda to Reish Lakish, that you look at what it ultimately is going to be. The Rambam paskins beferish gidim arachim enam chashuvim kabasar, that if you have soft gidim, they're not considered like meat because ultimately they're going to harden up. So it's very clear what the halacha is going to be in the case of our Gemara. So he says, Hu adin when it comes to an esrog, since it's going to be chaser, you can't be yotzei yuchiv right now with the esrog. Now the Chaznish has an entirely different interpretation of the whole thing. The Chaznish said, not interpretation, but an entirely different understanding of the psul of a small esrog. Chaznish says, what's the problem with the small esrog? It's not beautiful. He says, no, the problem with the small esrog is a chashash that it never ripened. So if you have an esrog that ever was large enough, even if it later became smaller, it would still be kosher. The problem of the small esrog is only if it was never big enough, because then you're choshesh that it's boser, that it was just it never ripened properly enough to be yotzei the mitzvah. So the Chaznish thinks the whole shayla is not a shayla; it's automatically going to be okay. There is also on this last line some of the Achronim quote over here when the lashon that's used is halochash lekimche. He wasn't choshesh to grind up his kemach enough. So this is the tshuva of the Priyas Sadeh, who says that he thinks that maybe when a person makes a siyum masechta, a person should not say tachnun when you make a siyum masechta. Where does he get such an idea from that you make a siyum, you don't say tachnun? He says, well, the din is on Tu B'Av we don't say tachnun because it's a yom tov. The Yamshel Shlomo, the Marshal, is the one that talks about the real sources and the basis for making a Siyum. All the halachos, if you ever see anyone give a shiur or write an article about Siyum Masechta, Yamshel Shlomo is always the primary source. He's the one that really fleshed out this issue in the Yamshel Shlomo, the 7th parak of Masechta Bava Kamma. So he says, where does our minhag to make a Siyum Masechta come from? He says it comes from the Gemara in Tainus, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, that says, L'hoi Yom Tovim Liyisrael. Here's another Daf Yom coincidence, Ki Yom HaKippurim V'Tu Ba'av, that there were no such great days for Klal Yisrael like Yom Kippur and Tu Ba'av. And the Gemara explains, what was special about Tu Ba'av? Because it was the day that they finished cutting the Eitzim from the Ma'aracha, for the wood that they needed for the Beis HaMikdash. And on the day that you complete doing a mitzvah, it's worthy of celebration. So Yamshel Shlomo says, so that's why we treat a day of making a Siyum Masechta like a Yom Tov as well. There's an Indian to make a Siyum Masechta because we finished doing a very great mitzvah. So says the Priya Sadas. Therefore, if you don't say Tachlin when it's Tu B'Av, the Chori shouldn't say Tachlin when you make a Siyum Masechta. One could argue that there's a difference between a personal celebration and a national celebration, something that relates to the Atzei Ma'aracha. But anyway, he says that was only, says the Priya Sadas, that La Halacha, you would say Tachlin. Why? Because maybe the comparison to Tu B'Av is only if a person really learns very well. If a person is learning Bi'iyun Rav and he really understands it very well and he really, really gets it. But nowadays, and he really learns Lashma, nowadays people don't learn Lashma so much, they don't learn so well. So nowadays he says it wouldn't be enough to warrant skipping Tachron. And he's Medayik from Lashon of Rashi in Shabbos of Kufi Yud Chesem Beis. Abaye says that he made a Siyum for a Tzur Mirabanan who completed a Masechta, and Rashi says Shagarsa. So what's Shagarsa? So why does Rashi say Shagarsa? What's Rashi adding with the word Shagarsa? So he says the word Garsa implies Iyun Dafka, like Tochim Grisim, like grinding up Grisim. And he points to our Gemara that when you want to describe someone who has a full understanding of a sugya, it means he ground it up really well. Right? How did he criticize someone who didn't really fully grasp the sugya and didn't get the maskana la halacha? Lo chash lekimche. He didn't grind it up really well. That's the lashon that we use when we describe someone who learned something properly. Okay, new Mishnah. Hashover se'etem b'pesach hatar reza lo karbayin. If someone breaks a bone on a tahor carbon pesach, on a regular good carbon pesach, you get 40 lashes, you get malchus. What's the chiddush? It's a los hasei in the Torah. Why wouldn't you get malchus? So the Or Chadash, one of the Achronim, says the chiddush is that it's only 40. One might have thought that it's multiple isurim of etzem losish brubo, because the Torah says it multiple times. Pasuk says Bamidbar Periktes Etem Lo Yishpruvo, and that pasuk seems to be extra because we could that pasuk is by Pesach Sheni, and it already says by Pesach Rishon they now let it be Shover Etem. Normally we learn the Halachas of Pesach Sheni from Pesach Rishon, so one might have thought that it's a double Malkus. The Mishnah's Mechadesh said it's only a single Malkus. Why is it only a single Malkus? Why Taka? Don't we say that we learn from Pesach Sheni? So the Mishnah's Mechadesh from the fact that by Pesach Sheni it says the Yisur of Shriya Setzem, we can learn other dinim. Apparently we're going to learn other dinim, but not a din of an extra lav, an extra malchus. Avla mosir b'tahar v'ashover b'tamei eino lokas harbayim. But if someone leaves over meat of a Korban Pesach beyond the Zman Achila, or breaks a bone of a Korban Pesach that is Tamei, of a Korban Pesach that's not good, so then he's not going to get Malkus. There's no Malkus for those Yisurim. Now, says the Gemara, Bishlam of Mosir B'Tahar, I understand very well why if you leave over parts of a the meat of a Korban Pesach, I understand why you're not going to get Malkus D'Tanya, because we have a Braisa, Lo Sosir M'menu Ad Boker V'Ano Sir M'menu Ad Boker V'Gomer Ba Kosov Liten Asei Achar Lo Sasei Lomer Shein Loke Divir Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, why don't you get Malkus for leaving over meat of a Korban Pesach? Because right after the Torah tells us the Lo Sasei not to leave over meat of the Korban, it says, and if you did leave over the meat of the carbon, you have to burn it the next day. So that's what we call a lav hanita klase, that if a person violates a los hase, he has to fix it by doing an hase. That's the famous kasha, all the achronim ask, why isn't every single los hase in the Torah a lav hanita klase for the mitzvah hase of tshuva, that a person could do tshuva and be misakin? Okay, it's a bit of a funny question. I mean, it's not a separate mitzvah saseh that's identified for that love. So there is a concept of tshuva ben adam l'makom in shemayim, but you don't really fix it down here. So the love hanita klasei, a person does not get malchus. I saw an interesting shaila they discussed. There's a discussion in Achronim whether a katan has to do tshuva for averus that he does. Let's say a person starts doing a cheshbon and nefesh before Yom Kippur. He starts thinking about all of his averus and he can't come up with anything that he's done since he was 11 years old. But when he was 11 years old, man, was he a mean kid. He did all sorts of terrible things. So does he have to do tshuva for things that he had done as a child? So one of the Achronim raises the question, what if it's a lav anita klasei? He violated a losa, say, does he have a chiyuv to fix a losa that he had done? Do you say that a katan is no maisa avera at all? That there's nothing? That it's not even a maisa avera? So there's no need to fix it because it wasn't a maisa avera? Or do you say, no, it's a maisa avera, he's just not a baronshim, so he can't be punished for the maisa avera. But if there's a maisa avera, you should try to fix the maisa avera. Okay, so anyway, so that's the reason why you don't get malchus for no sir, because it's a lav anita klasei. Rav Yaakov omer, Rav Yaakov says, no, it's a different reason. Lo min hashem uzeh. The reason you don't get malchus for nosar is because there's no maisa involved. You just leave it. So in any lav shein bo maisa, you don't get malchus. So that we understand very well, says the Gemara, why you don't get malchus for nosar. There are two very good reasons for that. What's going to be more challenging is el shover b'tame minalan. Why is it that one does not get malchus for breaking a bone on a tame karban? Before we get into that, a little bit about nosar and about the lav anita klasei, the Minchas Chinuch raises the suffek in mitzvah ches with the isser of leaving over meat of the carbon pesach or meat of any carbon really. Is the isser dafka bekazayis or is it even bemashahu? Generally, isurei achila are bekazayis. Things that are not isurei achila, there's no reason to say they're kazayis. Achila is defined as kazayis. Now, nosar is leaving over parts that you can eat, leaving over the bus or the edible parts. Well, if you leave over a part that's small, so it itself is not an isra achila, it's not violated by eating, adrab, it's violated by not eating. So do we define that by kazayis or not? So he writes, l'chora, from the lashon of the chinuch itself, the chinuch says, they not allowed to be mosir klum, sounds even a mashahu, and the Sefer Mutzal Me'esh Minchas Chinuch quotes is medayik this from the Rambam. The Rambam says that if a person is motzi a kezayis of his carbon pesach from his chabura, he gets malchus. But when it comes to noser and parakira lachiral of his carbon pesach, the Rambam just says you're not allowed to leave over from your carbon pesach ad boker, and he leaves out the word kezayis. So apparently, when the Rambam wants to say kezayis, he says it, and he doesn't say it over here. So apparently, it's even the isser would even apply bepachus mekezayis. However, the Minchas Chinuch disagrees. He says that which the Rambam says, if you're motzi a kezayis of karm pesach, you get malchus. That's the Rambam saying that because it's a klal in all the Surah Torah that the shear is always a kezayis, and meaning that's what the Rambam's trying to tell you, that even when it's not an inyan of achila at all, like being motzi from your chabura, this shear is a kezayis. Kal v'chomer by nosar, where it at least somewhat relates to achila, that the shear is going to be a kezayis. And he says it's clear that way from the Gemara. And the Gemara said that Rabbi Yehuda learned that chametz bePesach gets burnt. How do I know that you burn chametz bePesach? There was a whole discussion. What do you do? How do you destroy chametz? Rabbi Yehuda said, "Ein bir chametz al sreifa." You dafka have to burn it. How does Rabbi Yehuda know you dafka have to burn it? He learns it from nosar. Just like by nosar, it's asr lo sasiru. You're not allowed to leave it over. And the halach is if you do, you got to burn it. So by chametz also, where there's an isra bal yiraya, there's its dino bisreifa. Well, if the isra of nosar applied even to a mashahu, the isra bal yiraya is only on a kazayis. The Yisra Bal Yirah is not on the mashahu. So can you really learn from one to the other? Can you say, well, if you have to burn nosar, then for sure you have to burn chametz? No, maybe nosar is asr b'mashahu. So that's why you have to burn it. It's so much more strict. So this is a raya that it's not asr b'mashahu. The nosar must be comparable in some way to chametz. It must be that it's shiuro b'kezayis. And he deals with the diuk of the Mutzal Me'esh in the Rambam. And he says the real reason probably why the Rambam doesn't mention kezayis over here is because the Ma'inaf Kamina, there's no malchus anyway. The whole difference between a shir and pachlus mikashir, as we mentioned the other day, is only whether there's an onesh. Why is it that by Yom Kippur we tell people to eat pachlus mikashir, that we always recommend, not, we don't tell people who need to eat, who are chola, we tell them to eat pachlus mikashir and not to eat all shir, not because it's mutter, chati shir is asmin atarah also. No, we tell them to do that because there's no onesh, but so you're not chayiv kares for having pachlus mikashir. I mentioned in the shir the other day that I never had to give a psak that a person has to eat fully. It's always good enough to pachlus mikashir. You can get so much food and drink in your system with pachlus mikashir. And then I got several emails from people. You once paskened for me that I was allowed to eat. I forgot. Sometimes situations came up where a person had to taka eat more than a shir. A person gets very dehydrated and they're pregnant or whatever. So that you can't hydrate yourself by having 1 ounce every 9 minutes. Doesn't. You need to load up. If a person, let's say you're led this within the first 3 days right after having a baby, there's no shirim. Right away you eat everything. A lot of times cancer patients, Rahman al-Islan, have to eat for their medications. They have to eat full amounts and not small amounts. So it does come up. Okay, but anyway, says the Gemara Vayter now. We got to get moving here. So we want to know, so where does the Yisra of Shover B'Tamei, how do I know that the Yisra of breaking a bone does not apply to a Korban Pesach that's Tamei? So says Gemara, Da Amar Kra, Ve'etzem Lo Sishbru Vo, Bo B'Kosher V'Lo B'Pasol. The Yisra in the Torah is, Etzem Lo Sishbru Vo. Don't break a bone in a kosher Korban Pesach. But in a Pasol Korban Pesach, you're allowed to. So we have a Brisa that says two opinions of how I know that there's no Yisra of breaking a bone in a Tamei Korban. Ve'etzem Lo Sishbru Vo, Bo B'Kosher V'Lo Apostle Rebbe Omer bebayis echad yochal ve'etzem lo sishruvo, that the juxtaposition of the mitzvah sachila with the iser of breaking a bone teaches us that kol haroi lachila yesh bo mishum shviras etzem v'shein roi lachila ein bo mishum shviras etzem. Only a korban that can be eaten is subject to shviras etzem. If it's not roi lachila, then there's no iser of shviras etzem. So those are the two possible limudim of how I know that there's no iser of shviras etzem on a tamei korban pesach. So may benayu, what's the nafkamina between these two opinions, between the Tanakama and Rebbe? So the Gemara, as I said, is going to have eight approaches as to what exactly the machlokas is between Tanakama and Rebbe, between the drush of Etzem Losishbru Bo V'lo B'Pasol V'lo B'Tamei versus Rebbe's of Kol Shein Rei Lachilein Bo Mishum Shvir Setzem. Number one, Am Rebbe Yirmiya Pesach Haba B'Tumah Yikabinayu. The difference between them is if the Korban Pesach is brought B'Tumah, it's brought B'Tzibur when the Tzibur is Tamei. So the man yamar kosher. If you say that the iser only applies to a kosher korban pesach, high pasul. So this is pasul. The man demar roy lachila hanami roy lachilahu. But if you say that it's all depends on whether you're allowed to eat it, well, you are allowed to eat it because that's the mitzvah that year. So it is pasul. It is tameh. It is but it's roy lachila. So that would be nafkamina. Second possibility says mar of Yosef Amar. No, that first possibility has to be rejected. No one would say there's nisr of shviras etzem on a korban pesach that's brought betumah. The Rebbe la kulei kaasi v'hai hapasal hu. Rebbe clearly comes to be more makil and not to be more machmir. So that's why we reject the possibility that Rebbe is more machmir than Tanakama. Ella, rather, what is the machlok is about? So says Rav Yosef, second suggestion. Haisalo shasa kosher v'nifsali kabinayu. What if it once was kosher and then it became pasul? Lamandi amar kosher hakosher hu. So if you say that it has to be a korban pesach that its avoda was done behechsher, so its avoda was done behechsher. It was kosher at the time of its avoda. Lamandam roi lachila hahashalav roi lachilahu. But if you say that it all depends on being roi lachila, well, right now it's not roi lachila. Meaning, apparently, if you darshan etzem lo sishbru bo velo be pasul or whatever, that it has to be something that was kosher at the time of the avoda. We look at the time of the avoda, not at right now. Whereas if you're focused on roi lachila, well, roi lachila obviously is focused on right now because that's when you're going to eat it. Abaye Yamar Abaye says, no, that's not the machlokas. Everyone would agree in that case there's no issur of breaking the bones. Right now it's pasul, so there's no issur of breaking the bones. My time ahashtami as a pasul, because now it's already pasul. Ella, what is the machlokas about? Third possibility, shvira satsami bod yom ikibinayu. You have a perfectly good korban pesach, but it's not yet the Zman Achila. It's still Erev Pesach, so it's not yet the Zman Achila. Can you break bones now? Leman Yomer Kasher HaKashru. So if you say that you're not allowed to break bones on a Kasher Karban Pesach, well, this is a Kasher Karban Pesach. Leman Yomer Roy L'Achila, Hashalav Barachilahu. But if you say the issue of breaking bones is only when it's Roy L'Achila, well, in Erev Pesach, it's not yet Roy L'Achila, so the Yisr is not intact, and therefore you would be allowed to break the bones. So Meisvei, the Gemara says, really, Rabbi Yomer, Nimnim al-Moach Shabarosh, Veinim al-Moach Shabakolis. One can register to eat the marrow that's in the head of the animal, but not the marrow that's in the thigh of the animal. Al-Moach Shab, of the bones, of the thigh bone of the animal. Al-Moach Shabarosh, my time, Hal V'yachol Agor Lotzio. Why are you allowed to register for the marrow in the head of the animal? Because there are ways to drag it out without breaking any bones, to pull out the marrow from the head. But when it comes to the marrow in the thigh, there's no way to get to it unless you break the bone. But if you hold that you're able to break bones of a Karban Pesach before Pesach starts, when it's still Erev Pesach, so what do you mean you can't get to the marrow in the thigh? Sure you can. Kolos nami nitbrei mibodyom nafkuel lemochti devinimnu alei. The marrow and the bones, you should break the bones from, can be gotten too easily by breaking the bones on Erev Pesach and then scraping out the marrow. And then you could register somebody on that marrow of the Korban Pesach. So Amalach Abaye, so Abaye says, no, l'temeich, according to that logic, there's an etzah to get to the marrow even after Pesach starts. All you have to do is nicely gumrasa, take a hot coal, v'nechlus aleh, put it on the bone, v'nikla, and it will burn down the bone. It's not going to break it, it will just burn it down, v'nafka l'moach didei, and then you'll be able to pull out the moach, v'nimni aleh, and you'll be able to register on it. Da'atanya, because the Braisa says, av l'sarv ba'atzamos, v'machadech, v'hidinein v'mishum shvirus atzem, that the issur breaking bones is only breaking a bone. Burning a bone? That's perfectly okay. You're allowed to do that on a Karban Pesach. So why don't we give that Eitzah for even for Pesach night to be able to get to the marrow in the thigh by burning the bone? So what's the problem with doing that? So Abayi says, because we're afraid the bone is going to crack from the coal, and that's going to be no good. That's not sreif anymore. That's shvira. That would be breaking it. Rava Amr Mishum Hefsid Kachim to come after Libya Adayim. Rava says, because it's also going to burn up some of the marrow, so you're being mafsid some of the marrow be adayim when you burn through the bone. Dilma achol nura mimach tidei, the fire may come and eat up some of the marrow. Some bodiyam nami. So for that same reason, the marrow is considered inaccessible miba odiyam. Because we're worried that since you're not allowed to take the marrow out of the thigh once Pesach starts, because the only way to do it would be by using a hot coal, which has all these problems with it, so too you're not allowed to do it before Pesach starts, even though technically before Pesach starts you don't have any of these problems. You could just break the bone and pull it out, but it's a kezeira mibod yom. Atu Misha Chashecha. Now, fourth possibility. Rav Papa, Amar Rav Papa says, no, I don't like possibility number three. Kol Ki Agavna on Erev Pesach, Kuli Al Miyesh B'Mishim Shiras Atam. Everyone would hold the Yisr of Shiras Atam already applies on Erev Pesach. My time, Lord, to Michsi L'Achila. Because the logic is very simply, because that night it's still going to be Roy L'Achila. So right now, at this second, it's not Roy L'Achila. It will be very shortly. El Be'ever Shiyatsam Ktsaso Kemifilgi. The Machlokas is really about if part of a limb went outside of the boundaries of Yerushalayim. Mandiyam or kasher or kasher. The carbon is still kasher. Umandam roi l'achila. But if you say that has to be roi l'achila, hay lav bar achilahu. The part that went outside of the borders of Yerushalayim is not roi l'achila. Kedetani Rabbi Shlomo Rosh Rabbi Yochanan Baruch Omer. Ever shiatsa mukzasa v'shavro ein bo mishum shvira satzem. If you break a bone of part of an animal that went outside of Yerushalayim, so it's not going to be a violation of shvira satzem. Rav Sheshet Brid Rav Idi Omer kol ki agav nitzkun liyamlo ein bo mishum shvira satzem. No, if part of a limb went outside of Yerushalayim, there's no Isra of Shira Satsem. The high Aver HaPasalu, because that Aver is certainly Pasal. Ella, rather, fifth possibility, Shira Satsem, bin na Ike bin Ayu. The Machlokas is whether there's an Isra of Shira Satsem on a partially roasted carbon. Manyam Kasher HaKasheru. still kasher. Mandiam roi lachila, hashein roi lachila. It's only partially roasted, so it's not yet roi lachila. Rav Nachman reads Gomer kol ki agavni yesh v'mashim shvira setzem. No, that would be subject to shvira setzem. My time ada chazi lachila dematvi levachalei, because you could still roast it fully and eat it. El shvira ha'aliyah, you could be now a sixth possibility. We're talking about whether you break the bone in the fatty tail that you're not allowed to eat anyway. Is that subject to the isur shvira setzem? Mandiam kasher or kasher? Well, the carbon is kasher. Lamandiam roi lachila ha'in roi lachila. But the one that says that it all depends on being Roy Lachila, well, the fatty tail is not Roy Lachila, because the aliyahs we saw on Da'av, what was it, Gimel and Beis, where they had that story with the guy who tried to bring the Karban Pesach, so that part of the animal gets burnt entirely on the Mizbeach, doesn't get eaten, so maybe there's no Isur Shvira Setzim in that part. Ravashi Amakol Ki Agavna Vadayin V'Mishrim Shvira Setzim Da Vadayin Roy Lachila Klal. Ravashi says, no one would say the bone in the tail is subject to Shvira Setzim, that for sure not. Ela Ever She'in Alav Kazai. Seventh possibility is that the machlokas is about a limb that does not have a kazayas of meat on it. It is a kasher karban, but there's no shir achila because it's less than a kazayas. Ravina says there's definitely no issur of breaking a bone if there's less than a kazayas of basar. The eighth and final interpretation. Is they're arguing about a limb that does not have a gezayis basar on the spot where you're breaking it, but it does have a gezayis basar in total. Lamad yamar kasher hakasher. The one that says kasher, well, it is a kasher carbon. Lamad amar lechila b'inan shir achila b'makom shvira v'haleka. You at least need a shir of achila in the spot where you break it, and there is no shir achila in that spot. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue with the brisa that supports four out of those eight opinions. Back to a full-length sheet tomorrow. Yeah. Okay. Pick the right data.